And you know, one of the things that you were saying before we started, which was interesting, was that the guy had no concept of what Iran was or its history. And we've seen DeSantis the same thing, by the way. Not DeSantis. What's his name from Texas? Republican from Texas.
We're talking senator,
Senator,
congressman.
senator. Yeah, the greatest defender of Israel in the Senate.
Cruz.
Cruz, yeah, Cruz. When Tucker Carlson had an interview with Cruz, and he's like, "Yeah, he doesn't know anything. He doesn't know the population. I don't know if he can even find Iran on a map, but he wants to go fight him." Well,
Yeah.
he wants you to go fight him. He's not going to go fight him himself, obviously.
Yeah, no, it's knowing what you're up against and what they're willing to do. I mean, right now we're seeing warning signs out of Russia with respect to Europe that the Europeans better damn well be paying attention because when I saw and I'm sure you did Dmitry Polyansky's his comments with Danny Davis the other day, and then basically Sergei Ryabkov, the deputy foreign minister, said something very, very similar. So, and knowing Dmitry or Ambassador Polyansky, I mean, we're not great friends, but we developed, he greeted me and guided me at the UN when I went there to speak 2 years ago, and we've,
Excellent.
communicated since then and been on a couple of different podcasts together. But I know him well enough to know that he's not a guy that just shoots his mouth off because I got an opinion. I'm going to tell you what I think. Oh, no. He's a professional diplomat. He knows what he can say and what he can't say. And he's always careful to caveat it if, it gets even to the nuance of the use of military force. But basically the message he delivered and then Sergei Ryabkov delivered just yesterday, I believe, was simple and stark. And it was continued attacks facilitated by Europe is going to result in retaliation against Europe. And they better be prepared for it.
I was on Danny Davis' show yesterday. I don't think it's come out yet. And I was on first time I was on Redacted today. We were talking about the same thing. I've been saying this for a long time. Look, if the Europeans succeed in overwhelming Russian anti-aircraft systems, obviously, they've done this before. They're going to go after what? They're going to go after the early warning radar systems. They're going to have to go after the strategic nuclear bomber fleet. What is a nuclear superpower that's now blind going to do? Especially when the other guy has a first strike position. Are they going to wait to get hit?
Well, that was, looking back at how well Iran planned its counteroffensive, that the existing security architecture in the Persian Gulf was predicated upon the United States' promise, hey, we'll protect you. We've got Patriot missile batteries in place. We've got THAADs. We've got some other systems. So, and we've got all these radars. We're going to know when the attacks are coming. We got you covered. And so all the Gulf Arabs go, okay, cool. Yeah, we'll back you. Even though Saudi Arabia initially says, claimed to be publicly opposed to it, the reality was when the attacks came, they were fully enabling those attacks against Iran. And then what happens? The Iranians turn around and begin blowing up all the radars and blowing them up with drones, of all things. I thought your air defense systems were going to take those out.
There wasn't even a single stinger that went up.
Yeah.
I mean, for God's sakes, a stinger?
So here's the United States who, we're like that mafia guy that came to the pizza parlor promising, hey, you pay your monthly insurance fee and you won't be attacked. So all these Gulf Arabs, man, have been paying their monthly service fee and they got attacked and got the hell beat out of them.
Yeah, they did.
And so now they're going, do I really want to stay in a relationship with these people? Because it's pretty deadly. It's not good for our longevity.
Nope.
So that's where I see something going on in that realm right now where the Gulf Arabs are going to reevaluate their relationship with the West. And that's what China and Russia are offering as an alternative. here's the alternative, a new security architecture, and the only one that could potentially attack you is the United States, and we'll make sure they don't attack you.
Yeah.
Everybody go, hey, what's not to like about this deal?
Well, you know, plus whatever airspace used to exist between the U.S. and Israel, even if it was just for show, it's gone now. I mean, especially with Fifth Fleet Forward is now going to be stationed in Israel.
I thought it was stationed back down in Florida.
Well, no, this is Forward Command.
Okay.
So it was stationed in Qatar, I believe. But yeah. that base
no Bahrain.
Is gone.
It was
Bahrain. Yeah. But that base is also gone. You know,
no, it's history, and then they ain't going back there. Now their only other option might be something down in the Gulf of Oman, in either Oman or UAE. But again, that puts them in a vulnerable position where they can be easily attacked.
Oh, yeah. That's even worse than being Bahrain. You know, for the missiles have that much less distance to cover before they get hit. And no radar systems.
The only advantage is at least you're not bottled up in the Persian Gulf.
True. So very true. But
you can potentially sail away, but still.
Oman seems to be more or less at least semi-allied with Iran.
Yeah.
So I doubt it they'd allow the U.S. to sit there on their territory.
Yeah, no, I don't see Oman making. Oman is signing on to this new security architecture proposed by Russia and China. And Pakistan's in the lead on that.
Well, the simple question from my side, including to the UAE, I mean, I understand Mohammed bin Zayed, who was on that torture video emails, and who grew up playing, video games, Call of Duty. I guess he thinks it may be just like that in real life. I mean, I understand these guys aren't exactly the brightest light bulbs. But if they sign up on the American mission that Trump is voicing, and Trump attacks the electric and the water purification systems, desalination plants, Iran's going to retaliate in kind.
Yeah.
Well, then, their countries are dead then.
Yeah. Particularly right now. The heat is on.
Oh, yeah.
With the to quote the popular song from Beverly Hills Cop. But I don't. Did you ever do any time in the sand pits and in the Gulf?
No. Okay, I was supposed to. Actually, I was supposed to go to Afghanistan, and at the last minute, they switched up our group for another group of instructors and moved us to the rear. And then by that time, the time that was coming up, I'd already left. We were getting ready, we were packing, and all of a sudden, we've changed groups. And by the way, thank God, because I watched a documentary that was done, the group that went in our place. And I would have probably killed these guys with my own hands. Yeah. The entire infantry Afghanis were just druggies. The officer was just, they're standing there like, we should have gone on patrol an hour ago. Where's your officer? Oh, he's over there. He quit. Through a translator. And the officer spoke English, and they go up there. And it's a major. It's like, sir, what do you mean you quit? Oh, my men do not expect me. I do not want to fight this anymore. I don't play this game anymore. I'm quit. and these are the people they're dealing with. This is Petraeus' super army that he set up in Afghanistan. Yeah. I was like, oh, jeez. It was insane.
Well, I was on the ground at Al Udeid just 20 years ago today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And I could not believe how hot it was. And you get the heat there with humidity because you're close enough to the ocean. So, we're talking 118 degrees Fahrenheit, well over 40 degrees Celsius. And then, it's brutal conditions. So if you have to be outside operating in combat conditions, you're not going to survive long in that kind of heat.
I've been in that kind of heat. I was a consultant working at the Tengiz gas fields in western Kazakhstan. And it gets up to 50, 55 degrees. It's like 45 is the norm. Well, Celsius. So, you're looking at about 110. Hot, dry wind blowing in your face. But a winter's minus 30. I've been in that. I can't imagine running body armor in that.
Yeah, I mean, when you add that extra weight, which means, you got to stay hydrated, and this gets us back to the logistics. Where's that water going to come from?
Yep.
And, you know, to have it, you know, keep it cool enough that you can actually drink it and, you know, be beneficial. And then the electrolyte. Oh, so it's a nightmare. So that's why I say this. Trump's talking a good game, but they don't have a lot of good options.
Well, speaking of good games, how'd you like Trump's visit to China? Did you see the intro video where they land? They do this, like, Avenger march into China with little kids with their flags and the slow-mo. Did you see that one?
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I haven't seen that. What I have seen...
I'll toss it over to you.
...is the... apparently the number of kids they had out there waving flags,
mm-hmm.
The Chinese made sure that the number was 168.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No crap.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they were sending a very subtle message to Trump. You know, one that was sure was not received.
Did Trump even know how many kids were out there?
In addition, they. Marco Rubio couldn't come into country because he was on the sanctions list.
But they changed his name. They changed him.
Well, yes. Yeah. They changed his name to the character that was used means rash, rude, obnoxious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, according to Chaz Freeman. And Chaz is a great authority on that because
right.
Chaz was Nixon's translator back in 72, so he knows exactly. So the Chinese were they weren't looking to confront the United States directly, but they sent a number of very subtle messages that
Damn.
Basically, you're a declining power, and we're not pleased with a lot of the things you're doing.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's, damn. Oh, man, that's a Chinese. Well, I also like the way that, you know, she just didn't show up on the tarmac. He showed up for Kim Jong-il. He shows up for Putin. Nothing for
Trump.
Yeah,
he showed up in 20. The last visit in 2024 was Putin was there. Now, I noticed today he didn't show up. He sent Wang Yi. However, you know, Wang Yi as well is a high profile.
Mm-hmm.
Trump didn't even get Wang Yi. He got some second level dude, deputy premier that nobody outside of China knows.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there was another somebody pointed out when he took him to that secret garden, and he was pointing out trees that are 300 years old, as in those trees are older in your country. And you know that the Chinese are good at things like that. They
yeah. Yeah, no, and you know Trump thought maybe he was the first there. No. You're here as sloppy seconds, man.
How did you like that little test with the notebook?
With the what?
With the notebook. When she goes up, he leaves his notebook under Trump's
Trump
arm.
Was checking it out?
Yeah. While on video camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that was a setup, too.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Should have written in there. Screw you.
My favorite meme comes out of Trump is getting off the plane wearing a white T-shirt. He looks like the former actor, now deceased, Chris Farley.
Yeah,
you know, sort of this big fat guy with red hair, and his belly's showing. And on one side is Elon Musk. The other side is Pete Hegseth. They're trying to drag him across the tarmac, and the T-shirt says, "I went to China, and all I got was this T-shirt."
Well, hey, they got some very expensive Chinese food.
But then the other voice over on this says, "God, what is that smell? We need a diaper change here."
Yeah, that was, you know, 2 hour. I mean, 2 hour meeting, nothing accomplished. Tour, sightseeing tour, some good food. How much did it cost the taxpayer?
Well, yeah. Well, look, the two things Trump needed. One was the access to the rare earth minerals. Didn't get that. Two, Iran's commitment to help pressure, China's commitment to help pressure Iran to end the war. Didn't get that. And you could argue that he also wanted to get expanded trade with the United States. Didn't necessarily get that. And, you know, while this is going on, U.S. is still imposing sanctions and still has sanctions in place on China. And it's like, guys, you know, the Chinese aren't stupid. They're not going to say, okay, yeah, we'll give you whatever you want. You can continue to punish us. No. This has got to be a two-way street, one based upon respect. And so far, the United States isn't willing to show the respect.
Let us betray Iran so you can, try to kill us later more effectively.
Or say, yeah, we need your rare earth minerals, Xi, so we can restock our supply of Tomahawks and JASSM missiles that we intend to use against you. So could you help us out there?
You know what that reminds me of? The industrialist union in Germany 2 years ago was proposing to the German government that they remove sanctions on Russian steel because they don't have enough German steel. They can't produce it. It's too expensive. They don't have enough gas to produce ammunition to give to the Ukrainians to kill Russians.
Yeah. And the Russians go, oh, that sounds like a great deal. Yeah, let's do that.
Exactly.
What the hell?
But, yeah, that's on the same level. I mean, it's a little less effective. The shells don't fly as far, but...
There's lots of disconnects in this whole policy. And again, if you're, you know, do you want to have international cooperation or do you not? And if you want to have international cooperation, then you're going to have to calm everything down, sit down, and start talking to people and listening.
Yep.
Instead of trying to create these narratives that are going to go nowhere.
We're talking about narratives that go nowhere. The European Union that keeps talking about war with Russia, war with Russia, war with Russia. I mean, they beat that drum 24/7. They were having a conference on discussing their plans on Operation Deutschland, for the defense of Germany, or so they call it. And then they start talking about where we're gonna house the hundreds of thousands of Russian POWs. Which you don't there's take POWs on defensive, not too many.
There's an optimistic projection.
I don't remember who's saying it. But I've heard it from several sources. The evangelical churches in Germany self-organized to prepare for dealing with grieving parents who just lost their kids or wives who just lost their. I mean, they're on a societal level. Oh, it was Pascal. It was Pascal they were talking about group formation. Psychosis, basic group psychosis. These people, they're quite serious.
I just learned an unfortunate statistic on Sunday. So, I was in part of, there's a shooting event. I've been supporting as the chief range safety officer. It's called Veterans and Cigars. So basically, it's for veterans that come out shooting competition. FN, Ruger, Colt sponsored. They provided the firearms that were used. And one of the RSOs assisting me, a guy named Tank. He was a Marine. He was a Navy corpsman. But worked with the Marines, so he did a lot of he was in a lot of combat engagements and dealt with a lot of combat casualties. One of my other and so Tank had been a student of mine. Not that I had anything to teach him, but he had to get some NRA certifications. He had to take a class with me to get the certification because I'm in that position. And one of our other mutual friends, kid I met, Jamie Lee Sklatter. Jamie is 44, and Jamie too was a Navy corpsman, but he also became a Marine Corps sniper. And it was funny when I was teaching him basic rifle. At no point did he say, "Hey, I'm an expert sniper. I don't need to, hear your bullshit. Let's just get this done and let's go." No, just the opposite. A lot of respect. Listened, asked questions. And at the end, when he finally admitted what his background was, I was giving him a hard time. I said, "Dude, you should have been teaching this class. He goes, no, he says, actually, I said, I learned a couple of new things today.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I said, so there embodies that kind of attitude. Well, on Sunday, as Tank and I were leaving the event, Tank got a phone call. Jamie killed himself and committed suicide. He was out on a job in Kansas. And so I started looking at the numbers. The number of U.S. Army, Marine, and Navy personnel that have killed themselves since 2001 is 147,000.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a larger loss of life than all of the Marine, Army, and sailors that died in the Pacific Theater in World War II.
Yep.
That was 110,000 KIA. We now got 147,000.
Yep.
And part of the problem is this generation of the last 25 years, they're not their fathers and grandfathers, they'd go to a VFW post. Now, mm-hmm. The problem with the VFW post is there's a lot of alcohol involved. And so the last thing you need are guys that have got some issues self-medicating with alcohol. And so they don't have, but one of the advantages of the VFW is you're there with a bunch of other guys that have had your shared experience, and so you're not alone in dealing with these nightmares. But now this what I call this modern crew, they tend to be a little more independent. But I was just heartsick over this because Jamie is such a good guy, such a great attitude, and just a real. There's some people you meet and they just, the whole projection of what they give off, very positive vibe. And,
yeah.
Another one gone, another needless casualty.
You know,
and that's what we're talking about here. I hope the Russian government does a much better job than the U.S. government does of dealing with soldiers after their term of service. And yeah, we know that the Ukrainian soldiers are completely fucked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, and you're right, it's between 20-23 veterans and active duty soldiers a day committing suicide. And it's been like this for years. Trump had mentioned it once when he was president the first term. But I never heard any American politician mention that. Yeah. I'm lucky enough, out of my close circle of friends, nobody's done it. Thank God, but that is a big factor. And 100,000 veterans in the U.S. are homeless.
That's between the homelessness and the suicide. It's like a quarter of a million people. I mean, those are huge numbers.
Russia had this kind of, well, not quite this kind of problem on this scale, but Russia had a problem with this in Afghanistan, the Afghan veterans, because the Soviet Union fell apart, and the first Chechen war, because the Soviet Union fallen apart, and Russia was falling apart. But the second Chechen war and everything else, I haven't seen these kinds of issues. And these guys, and the government's going out of their way to make sure when the veterans are coming back from SVO, they've got jobs waiting for them, they've got potential education if they want it, Yeah, and they really go strong after criminals, including women criminals, because there's a whole small grassroots industry of, hey, marry a guy that's going off the front, and then hopefully he'll get killed, and then you inherit everything, or if he does survive, while he's out there, rewrite the ownership on everything, and then divorce him. And they've gone actively after people like that. I mean, the government has shown very little mercy on people like that, which is the right thing to do. That's the federal level, not the state level. State levels, you just never know. A lot of state levels, unfortunately, are corrupted or afraid of the local mob. But the federals come in there, they don't give a damn. Yeah. Hey, I know we're both almost out of time, but real quick. Do you think Trump is going to try to take Cuba as a consolidation prize?
Yeah, and it'll blow up in his face because the Cubans with troops. They haven't thought this through. It's just the old concept: you break it, you buy it.
Oh, yeah.
We go in there, all we own it, and all of a sudden now we got to figure out, okay, we got to provide water, light, all the power to social services, etc. And hell, we've shown that we can't really do that. We're not good at it. So this is another potential nightmare that Trump will get to declare victory and then turn away from it while it turns into a complete conflagration or dumpster fire.
What about partisan warfare? Because I'm pretty sure it's going to be quite a few people who are not going to be too thrilled with the U.S. sitting in
Well,
Cuba.
let's watch what I'm watching today is what happens with the Thomas Massie primary in Kentucky. That if millions, tens of millions of dollars have been flooded in there by these Zionists trying to control the outcome. They're using a guy named Ed Galron as their tool. I knew Ed. Ed's a former Navy SEAL. I've known Ed for 30 years. He's not a good choice, but he's allowing himself to be used as a tool. So, but if Massie prevails, then that's going to be that'll be, I think, the start of a turning point, perhaps in America, where the Trump realizes he can't continue to sell out to Israel.
I mean, Trump's turned on all his closest people: Marjorie Taylor Greene, Massey, Ron Paul. I mean, Tucker Carlson. All the people that, all the people that went out there. Charlie. Well, I think Charlie was, well, as we've discussed, they're both looking at it as more of an execution. This is, you think they may be holding something like that over Trump's head? Do as we say, or
No,
we'll whack you too.
I think potentially yes. I think that's definitely a possibility.
So a small
So.
government in another corner of the world, no names mentioned, is holding American presidents hostage. Holy crap!
Yeah.
And that's and you can do it like that? Wow! Seriously? Wow!
Gotcha. Yep.
Well, Larry, thank you for coming out and joining. And it's always a pleasure.
All right, brother. Yep. We always have good conversations.
We
It's
do.
always nice and relaxed, and I think people enjoy it.
Yeah, I give very positive feedback. You see the feedbacks. I send you the links. And yeah, and like I said, we got to get you out here sometime soon.
Yeah. Happy to do so.
It's 30 plus degrees this whole week.
Yeah, there you go. That's
Yeah,
finally
it's.
summer.
Oh
Yay.
yeah.
All
Next week
right,
it's gonna be
bro.
raining and it's gonna be in the 20s. But yeah, it's 30
Yeah.
some degrees right now. So I was like, boo. It's good for Moscow.
Got it. All right,
Thanks.
brother. We'll see you
Yep.
later.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Bye.